Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 29th of June, recording at 9:10 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's have a quick review of the week, and it will be quick because it had been a very quiet week, all due to the countdown to the 19th a European summit crisis meeting, which started yesterday and concluded in the wee hours of this morning, again, British Standard Time. Now, what happened here is, and I won't go through all the specific details, but you've probably already read about them, or you will over the weekend, and you can also read it on the Fuller Money site when I've posted my copy, because I have the article. But it was received favorably, because the basic position is that EU leaders really agreed to relax conditions for emergency loans for Spanish banks and also Italian banks. So Chancellor Angela Merkel backed down on this point. Now, what I want to emphasize, though, before this is something that I wrote about in Comment of the Day last Tuesday, and have also discussed in audios on that day and subsequently, and that is that after 18 failed European summits, which were too incremental in their measures and too late, and therefore they were all described by that now quite worn cliché as kicking the can further down the road without doing anything to solve the actual problem. It was apparent, I think, to one and all that these European politicians were running out of time. They had to do something more. They were receiving all sorts of unsolicited advice from all over the world, and that this was the moment. So they have not disappointed in the short term. Now people will comb over the details and dissect and discuss it and digest it over the weekend, and it'll be interesting to see what happens on Monday. But the response by stock markets in here today was explosive. And one last thing on perceptions prior to that. You think of the very negative sentiment beforehand, low expectations, and that's been factored into markets really for quite some time. They've been more often than not in a so-called risk-off mode. But the point I've emphasized is that the European politicians didn't have to come up with some great sort of blockbuster deal to solve the crisis. I mean, that can't happen. This was over a decade in the making. It'll take many years to actually work their way out of it, if indeed they do work their way out of it. And I suspect they will, if the will is there. And so far, the will to do so does still appear to do so, although they may lose Greece along the way. But I digress. What I had mentioned is that what they had to do was change perceptions that events were progressively getting worse. So all that required was just enough of an agreement on the fiscal and banking union so that people could then say that, well, we're making a little bit of progress here, going from the glass is half empty or more in this case to, it's beginning to fill up again, perhaps. Now, that's actually what's happened, and we had just explosive moves in stock markets here today. The smaller ones were in Asia, but they were pretty good overall. They were smaller in Asia because the news broke really about halfway or more through the trading day in Asia, and I think with no disrespect to analysts in that region, that they're not going to be quite as up on the entire European crisis situation as some others, and they were thinking more about their own situations and concerns. Nevertheless, they saw enough to produce some pretty good rallies, and so gains of 1.5-2% were seen by some of the markets, including the Hang Seng Index and the Japanese stock market. Now, in Europe, we had a very strong opening, and then it eased a little bit. But then it really, from about midday onwards, it just became progressively stronger. And for instance, the Spanish IBEX stock market is up 5.66%. The Italian MIB index is up 6.59%. That was the top gainer. But also looking down this list, Sweden up over 4%. The DAX up over 4%. The CAC up over, that's France, up 4.75%. The Euro Stock Index 50, 50 big cap shares, including some from the UK, up nearly 5%. The UK itself up 1.4%. Now, in the Americas, we had a strong performance here as well. Brazil, and mostly closing out near the highs of the day, Brazil up 3.25%. Mexico nearly 1.5%. Ditto Canada. But Wall Street, as I say, closing on the highs of the day as well. The NASDAQ one, that's the NASDAQ composite I'm looking at. That's up a whopping 3%, 2.5% for the S&P, 2.2% for the Dow. So these are big upward dynamics right across the boards. Long-dated government bond prices today, the U.S. 30-year bond future is down 1.2332 seconds as I speak, and they were all lower, but not as lower as they might have been under the circumstances. The U.S. dollar was weaker, down over 1.1 on the dollar index, so we get a downward dynamic there. The Aussie, and this you see this across the boards naturally, the Aussie bouncing back up to 102.35. The Euro had one of the bigger gains up to 126.47. Sterling up to 156.73. Now, the dollar was, let's see, the dollar actually gained against the yen. That's interesting, 79.91. In precious metals, we had some very strong gains. They did fade a little bit right at the close, but gold, which was up $50 for much of the afternoon and early evening here, is currently up $44.50. We have silver up $1.15. Same. These are all off the highs, but holding most of the gains. Palladium up 18, platinum up a whopping $61. Crude oil. We had WTI up a massive $7. And Brent up $6, copper up 16.5 cents. You get the picture in here. Every commodity, I think, was up, save for rough rice. Okay, so what's it all mean? Where are we actually going from here? Well, as I said, people rake over the entrails here in terms of this agreement, and there'll be plenty of naysayers and doubters, and yes, but what ifs, and so on. And I would want to see some follow-through occur next week, hopefully on Monday, which that would be quite positive. Now, my view, though, in a situation like this, is that given the bearish sentiment that we had prior to today's announcement, and given the dynamics that we've actually seen in terms of today's price action, I'm very inclined to give it the benefit of the doubt until I see otherwise. Now, if we see the whole thing reversed come next week, well, then we're back into a reassessment. But meanwhile, look at what we've seen. Very important upward dynamics from or near or above some important support levels. You know, I've emphasized those June lows, those June reaction lows. And I've done so for two reasons, because people have been so bearish, and we've had a number of commentators I know in the U.S. talking about the U.S. stock market being in a bear trend overall. Well, I think that's certainly premature, and not just before today, because if you look at the weekly charts of indices for the Dow, the S&P, transports, whatever you want, the NASDAQ in particular, which so often leads, they're on overall upward trends. They're quite choppy upward trends because it's been that type of environment. But upward trends they are. And we also had a low, as you know, in early June and rallied up off that low. And so I've emphasized that low by saying that first, you couldn't have a bigger correction, let alone a bear market, without first taking out the June low. That's why I've emphasized that that point so much. Now, what has actually taken place today, let me stay for the moment with the U.S. markets, is that having seen the U.S. indices retrace maybe 50-55% of the rally that they had seen from the June lows, this upward dynamic today demonstrates support above those June lows and has also taken them back to the higher side of this month's range. So that's really quite positive. Even more dramatically, we have seen, for instance, the Euro stocks 50, that's 50 leading European company, pan-European companies, that has extended its rally. So that's new highs for the month of June. So nowhere near those June lows. The bank, Euro banks are doing showing similar dynamics to the upside here today. And so are Spain and Italy. Not only are they not testing those June lows, they're extending the rallies from those early June lows. And that's true of most stock markets overall. There are a few. China really didn't get a rally in June of any consequence and drifted down. That's the A shares. But it did have a small upside key day reversal in here today on the European news. So my feeling is that I would give this dynamic the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. And that means I would need to see today's gains wiped out and then the June lows pressured and taken out. I don't think that will happen, but that's not a high conviction call. My high conviction call is that this is very important technical action in here today. In this whipsaw choppy environment that we've had, we kind of take these things without looking too far ahead, take them not necessarily just one day at a time, but certainly 1 week or 1 month at a time. And with all those people bearish, and we've had plenty of indicators, the long dated government bond yields had dropped down so low, those Swiss 5-year bonds had gone to negative yield. So we've had lots of evidence of the extent of this very negative sentiment, and that's pushed that pendulum of sentiment to one extreme, and we've now seen a catalyst which can enable it to swing more in the opposite or risk-on direction. Interesting. Interesting stuff. Now, if we see the, you know, I've also said in my audios, I've talked a lot about I did expect stock markets to be higher by the end of the year. Now, that's virtually guaranteed, in my opinion, if we see the June lows continue to hold. We still have some unseasonal, tricky months to go through, you know, the euro situation has not gone from looking almost entirely black to suddenly being almost entirely white here in as the result of one summit. But therefore, there'll be doubts, there'll be volatility related to that overall. But again, if we see these stock markets hold above the June lows through into October, then I think that we would be well set for an extension of those gains through the end of the year, and it could well commence sooner if we're going from a risk-off environment into a risk-up environment. We can get a bit of a melt-up, as we saw last year. Okay, what about the long-dated government bond prices? Well, they look toppy to me, and I think yields are overextended to the downside, but they'll probably take their cue from from stock markets. I think now we know that these QE programs are going on. The Fed's Operation Twist is still going on. So that helps to support these long-dated government bond markets. And that's one of the reasons why they didn't fall all that sharply in here today. I just don't think there's value in there unless you're convinced that we're going into some sort of recession, global recession that's so severe that it borders on depression. And that's my view. That's not my view. My view is that we're going to see more reflation, and that will be a sufficient stimulus to help not only stock markets, but I think to also improve global GDP growth somewhat. We should be seeing that somewhat around the fourth quarter. So I'm more optimistic than the consensus is overall, as you probably already know. Now, what about these commodity moves? Because there were some big ones here. But commodity prices have been coming down for the better part of 2 years. We have had a major reset. I don't think crude oil is going to go straight back up by any means. But I have been saying that I wouldn't be at all surprised if it didn't find some support in the $80 region for WTI and the $90 region for the Brent. So more likely than not, we're going to be seeing some mean reversion towards the declining 200-day moving average overall. And that continuous commodity index, which I'll be posting again this evening, that had become very overextended after an extremely persistent decline downwards starting in, I think, in March or early April. And that's lost downside momentum here for the time being. The most dangerous of the commodities right now in terms of price action, I think, is the grain and bean complex, and that's due to crop damage in the U.S. due to hot, dry weather. Now, if that weather would improve somewhat, there would still be time for those crops to recover. Maybe not entirely, because part of this, I mean, with corn, it's taken place during the and that rather fragile flowering season. So it's done some definite damage, and that's reflected in prices. And it does concern me, because it means that we're not going to be able to, the world's not going to be able to build up the surplus reserves of grains and beans that would be a buffer to further crop damage. So we're still thin in terms of world stockpiles of these crucial grains. Now, what else to mention in here? Industrial metals are so very depressed that, and I think I mentioned that copper up 16.5 cents in here today. That's a big upward dynamic, but it's still only at 3.49. Now, that's the U.S. Price. So these industrial metals are low enough that some of the dynamics that we've seen today suggest that we're at least going to see a technical rally, and there'll be a lot of short covering in today's action, and undoubtedly there's a great deal of short covering. If it's going to be only a short covering rally, it'll peter out fairly quickly, but I think there's a good chance that, just as we saw last year, a little later on in the year, it's really started in October last year, that where the move became self-feeding, with a fair amount of money going back into the equity markets. I would not rule out that possibility at all. Well, now, what about these precious metals? We'll step back for a moment and say I've been talking in recent months about looking for a support building process, feeling that we were probably beginning a support building process, that for gold marked about the midpoint of one of those corrective phases that we've seen previously, that last about 18 months, where the first half is distribution with people selling, and then the second half is accumulation, causing prices to move back up within their big medium-term corrective ranging phases before eventually resuming their overall bull trend. I felt that we were at that midpoint, that support building phase, but that hypothesis really has been severely questioned here in the last couple of weeks until today. And today's upward dynamics are a good signal that hypothesis of mine may still be intact. Again, it requires more than one day. We need to see follow-through coming in here next week and beyond. And my hypothesis won't be confirmed until we really see gold back up over $1,800. But I've seen enough so that I increased my exposure in those markets here a bit today. I also bought coffee, which Owen had commented on earlier in the week on Monday or Tuesday. I think it was just showing that its long downtrend was overextended, and there were some concerns over the Brazilian crop. Now, so again, I think it's appropriate to have some long positions in here in stock markets and also in bonds. Stock markets and commodities. Now, in terms of the equities to hold, what we have liked, the theme among various different Fuller Money themes, the ones that we've been talking about for the last decade or more, the ones that we have most talked about for over a year here have been the dividend aristocrat type shares and the autonomies, particularly the consumer related autonomies. Now, some of them have done so well that they did accelerate upwards, and that leads to a type one top of unspecified duration. But if the rally peters out next week, and that's not my view, but it'll be the view of many, and we'll see. if the rally does peter out next week, then the dividend aristocrat type shares, particularly the multinational ones, would continue to be one of the safer cushioned havens among equities. Now, on the other hand, if the rally proves to be more than just short covering and turns into a momentum move, as we saw from October last year, then I think the dividend aristocrats and some of those autonomies which have had such wonderful moves, they won't fall. I'd be surprised if they fell, but they might take a back seat in terms of relative performance, and we could well see the relative performance leaders switch to mid-cap and perhaps some smaller cap shares, where valuations are extremely low in a number of instances, and they could recover quite strongly. And I think also the big cap miners, which are so depressed that if this rally gains momentum, and if we get the additional stimulus coming from the Asian, the China-led growth economies, then I think that would also be supportive of that group. So, interesting. And in addition to following activities on Wimbledon and the other interests, many interests in my life, I look forward to reading about today over the weekend, and particularly to starting the analysis all over again and commenting on it on your behalf next week. Meanwhile, have a fabulous weekend. All the best.